amazing when you get into God's Word and how it just comes alive, because it is alive. And it would amaze me, because what God was putting on my heart to talk about and to share, as I was going through it, attacks started coming my way. And the same thing that God was, you know, putting on my heart to share, I wasn't putting into practice, and I caught it. And Jen even said, "You're not even putting into practice." When I go, okay, I got to step back and get into the Word of God. And then God took that away from me and brought peace into my heart again. It's just amazing how alive God's Word is and how true it is, and how, you know, it works in our life. Well, what is God speaking into your life today? Only you know that, and God knows that. But I know the Holy Spirit will pierce hearts, because His Word is in all our hearts. That's what His Word says. He placed it there. It's a treasure, and the Holy Spirit pierces it so it can come out when we trust the Lord, and it goes into our veins and our minds, and it consumes us, and we can be free. So I know that's going to happen. It's happened to me. And the verse we're going to refer to today that God put on my heart was from Romans 12:2. And it's, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," and this was the key part God put in my heart, "by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing of your mind. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good will, His pleasing and perfect will," and pleasing to the heart. Now, why is God speaking this into our lives, into my life? Because we all, at some time or another, are consumed by lies. We believe lies, and these lies keep us contained in a jar like a flea. And I'll get to that in a minute. Why do we need to renew our minds? I ask that again. Because you and I are susceptible to these false arguments, and they become strongholds. These strongholds then control your mind. They keep you into captivity. They keep you in a jar like a flea. They make us slave to fear and hinder our blessing we were offered from God through Jesus. See, the jar I keep referring to, it's amazing how God works, is this video I saw on YouTube. And you can look it up later if you want to look it up. It's like a one-minute video. And it showed this guy came over with a jar, put a bunch of fleas, and he said it can also work with one flea, but he put a bunch of fleas in a jar, and he tightened up the lid, and then went away for 3 days, came back, undid the lid. And the amazing thing, the wild thing, was the fleas didn't leave once the jar was open. They stayed in the jar. They were conformed to the jar. They got conformed. Their minds got conformed to that space, and they became captive, even though the lid was off. And then the amazing thing was, I don't know if amazing is the right word, is that when they had children, the children didn't leave the jar either. They stayed in captivity also, even though the lid was off. And that's what happens to us. Our whole life, our former manner of life before Christ, is corrupt through deceptive thoughts and desires. Lies that we've been told from TV, the world. I love our parents, we all do, but even our parents, because we're, you know, we say wrong things, we do wrong things, we put wrong things in people's heads, and we get into these patterns and we stay into this jar. And this, in our life, like a jar, a captive. These lies tell us that we need to be approved by others for our worth. That we have conditional care. I didn't say conditional love, because love isn't conditioned. Love, it doesn't demand its own way, God's Word says. See, that's the truth. The lie is that it does demand its own ways, that you give me what I want. That's love. See, the Word fills us with the truth. Lies like, and thoughts that we're not good enough. I know God's speaking to people because God speaks to me that way. I thought that my whole life. In my past life, I would never be standing up here because I would never think I'm good enough to stand up here. But God tells me that He loves me. God tells me that I'm worthy. God tells me that I'm good. God freed me. But we have to hold on to that belief. You know, we hear these lies that we can't do anything right. That you should be more like this person or more like that person. That you're not pretty enough. That you're not handsome enough. All these things contain you in this jar. You even hear big lies. What you did was too big for Jesus to forgive you. That lie. And we know His word says that as far as the east is to the west, you come to me, repent, put your faith in me, you're forgiven. But we live contained in that jar. We don't receive the gift that He's given us and believe it. All these lies create fear. And fear keeps us marginalized. And fear keeps us in a jar. These lies have destroyed families, communities, churches, brought us into unhealthy relationships, and they keep us empty in our soul. They have a controlling influence on our minds. Have you ever believed someone felt something negative towards you? Or just thought negative thoughts about you? But they didn't say anything? That's happened to me. I had to reflect on that at one point in my life. Like, wait a minute, God revealed that to me. Wait, they didn't say anything. Why am I thinking that? And I reflect, I started believing the lies that I'm not good enough. Well, they must be smarter than me because they're saying bigger words or whatever. And it brought me back into that captivity. But God revealed that to me, and I didn't live in that fear. I didn't go back into the jar, but only from believing God's truth. When I was with my wife not too recently, and this is again how God works, reveals things in me. We had to go to a meeting to do something, to meet with somebody, to put things into place that eventually we're going to, hopefully, in prayer, help my wife and I don't know why I'm getting emotional. The Holy Spirit, thank you. Help my wife and I to have more freedom to do more for the Lord so that we don't have to be confined in captivity to things of the world, and we can put more of our time in our life, you know, for the Lord. And there's an enemy that knows that. So we went to this meeting. Everything went great. The person that we were having a meeting with, great, nice, kind, this, that, and the other thing. Helping us in a big way. And then just as we were leaving and saying our byes, I don't know where the conversation was going, but he was saying something. And then I looked to my wife and I said, and him, and I said, she's got my back, which is a great thing. It's a blessing that God blessed me with somebody to help me that could do things that I can't do. I can't, not as well. That's a blessing. It really is. The man, right away, in a friendly way, in a kind way, said, well, I think she's your front line. Right away, I felt a gut punch. Right away, boom. And right away, I can feel myself start to get angry. I can hear the lies in my head. You're not good enough. You can't do anything anyway. The only reason we have what we have is because of other people and this, that, and the other thing. What did he mean by that? Front line. Why did he say that? Shook the guy's hand. Have a good day. Walked out. Got in the car. Driving. My elbow here driving. About 2 minutes later, Jen looks to me. What's wrong, hon? Yeah. Nothing. Now, because God has put the truth in our hearts and the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, and praise Him, He pierced my heart and let a little bit of the truth out, saying, your worth you get from me. I love you. I gave you life everlasting. I'm storing up riches in heaven for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, Jerry, I made you in my image. I purposed you. And all of us, not just me, all of you, This goes out to all of you. Let the Spirit speak here. And I started to feel, but yeah. And then God helped, because now I wasn't going towards my old self, which my old self would have brought me to withdraw. I would have been bitter with my wife. I would have started having an attitude. This is what happens. This is how the enemy attacks us and keeps us away from our blessing. This is what, I've done this before. I'm not just saying it because I would have. I've done it. And and my old self would have went out for days. I would have snipped at my kids. I might have withdrawn from the plan we had. I don't want to do that anymore. I just give up. But God put that piercing in me. He was telling me how worthy I am in Him and helped me see my through lenses that He saw through. And then He said, Jerry, take your thoughts captive in obedience to me. And right away, things softened up. And I was able to share that with my wife. And I said, you know what? God revealed to me, a front line's a good thing to have. Right? A quarterback needs a front line to throw the ball, to get the touchdown. There's nothing wrong with having a front line. I'm like, yeah, all right. So I'm like the quarterback. I'm cool. It's okay. Cool now. Thanks, God. All right. I'll pass the ball all day, you know? So it was, and God is good, you know? But my old self, like I said, would have created this fear in me that would have created anxieties, resentments, bitterness, and it all based on a lie. Because we're in that jar that we've been conditioned to stay in. Even though we've been given freedom, God took the lid off. We just got to step out. You know, in Scripture, something God revealed to me in Genesis 4:6, when Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's sons, you probably all know that. I'm just saying it just in case there's anybody that doesn't, because I'm still learning too. But they were in the fields. God had blessed them with, I think it was Abel with the wheat and the fruits and that stuff. And then Cain had the meat and whatever, the sheep, cattle, whatever, you know. Right? Not a, good. All right. As long as you're nodding your head, then I know I'm close. Thank you, though. I need that. Because I don't know everything. Only God does. But so when they came to worship the Lord and give worship to Him and give some of their fruits of their labor, right? It says in Scripture, God approved and was pleased. He was pleased with Abel's, what Abel gave. And now, Cain was still blessed with what he had. But look what God says. What happened was, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Here we go. See, that's where I was. To start to believe the lies. You know, like in the garden, what Eve and Adam were told. Did God really mean that? Did God really say? Here we go. And he says, why is your face downcast or dejected? Right? Like, oh man. You will be accepted if you do what is right. God's telling them, just do what is right, you'll be accepted. But if you refuse to do what is right, now Satan's giving, I'm saying, God's giving him a warning, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it, and you must become its master. Right? And we are, if we don't know the story, then Cain didn't subdue it. Cain kept believing the lies. And what happened? He killed his brother. And then you look throughout the story of God, what came of all that, Cain's lineage and all that stuff, because he didn't subdue it. He became captive. The enemy got a hold of him. You know, but with Scripture, we can be reminded, with God's word, which is the truth, we can push out those lies. And we can be reminded of the truth so we don't, so we are able to master it. Another example I have that God's given me and blessed me, and this comes to the truth of God and how God works in us if we just hold on to His word and His truth, is me with my son Jerry Jr. and my son James, but this happened to be Jerry Jr. in this one point. And they're going through a lot of stuff. They're not in my household, so I don't have a lot of control. God would start lying. God would start telling me, you know, what to do with them, and I wouldn't listen all the time. And it caused some stress in my life. I created that. But Jerry's been running from God, And I've been praying to God for my children to come to him. And I tried to control the situation. I would try to do this and this and this, and nothing's working. It would get me more stressed. And he kept running and kept running. And I was just about to give up. And then all of a sudden, because God blessed me again with a wife that he uses too, my front line. And she just opened up scripture. And when she opened up scripture, it came to the part in Exodus where God said, "Stand still, I will fight for you." And in that moment, the Holy Spirit pierced my heart again, and that flowed into my mind, and peace just came over me. And I was okay, because I knew God was in control. And he took away the lies out of my head. Why we need to know this, and I touched on it a little bit. The devil has a plan. We do have an enemy that wants to destroy. 1 Peter says, we are given the knowledge, to be alert and sober-minded, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he does it by creating strongholds, by giving you faulty thinking. And if John was here, he'd tell you stinking thinking. And that's how he does it. And that affects your heart, and it hardens your heart. And from there, the Bible tells us, from our heart a man so acts. So we do have an enemy. And that's, we need to recognize that every day. Because Paul tells us in Ephesians that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I had to start with taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ to come out of that jar and stay out of that jar. I came to an end when I wanted out of that jar. About 15 years ago, when I was at my end, truly at my end. See, there can't be a resurrection if there's no death. We can't live a resurrected life, which Jesus has called us to live, if there's no death. So we have to come to the end of ourselves to experience this freedom. And I came 15 years ago to my end. And I said, I'm done doing it my way. My way is causing all this stuff. I'm getting like Cain. And I'm getting nowhere. Divorce and then drinking and all sorts of stuff. Porn and all things. And it just led to death. It led to emptiness. Nothing. And I had to come to myself. Come out of myself. And when I came out of myself and died to myself and received his truth, not right away. It's a process. I'm still in a process right now. But that truth entered me, and I was able to take steps to come out of that jar. And praise God. And he does this all for us too. We have to just receive it. See, plan A for the devil is to keep all people from believing in Christ. That's plan A. That's the first step. See, we were called to be born again. We need to have a new birth to live in Christ. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. And I just want to encourage anybody here. I don't know if anybody here hasn't received Jesus Christ, but if you haven't, I want to encourage you on your own or with someone here that would pray with you to get into communion with Jesus Christ so you can be free and break all your strongholds. To repent of your sins and to ask him into your life. John 3:16 says that God gave his only son and died for us because he loved you and he loved you and he loved me. God loves you. You are lovable. You are worthy of love. And God died on a cross to show you that. So I just want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, our God is bigger. Amen. Through Christ, your soul cannot be taken. 3 John 1:4 says that God, the lover of your soul, has no greater joy than to hear that his children, and that's what you are, and I am, are walking in truth, his word. So we have to push out the lies. We can't serve two masters. There's not enough room in our head. But if we trust his word and believe in him, and I say Jesus because Jesus said he is the word, if we go into communion with him, he'll take real estate in your head and you'll be able to come out of the jar and be free. See, in John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit seals you at that point. And why is that important? Why is that important? The Holy Spirit seals you, seals with your spirit now. Okay? Because here comes the devil, and he's going to wreak havoc in your life. He's going to input lies. And what does he see? An ID tag around your neck that says, I'm the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tips his hat and he goes away. He immediately backs off. Now you can take captive your thoughts with truth and have truth bring you out of that jar. John 14:16, Jesus says, this is Jesus, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Think about another example, Jesus in the desert when he was fasting, right? What did Jesus use that the devil tipped his hat and went along his way? Did he believe the lies that Satan was saying? That make bread, you can make bread, you need to eat, you were fasting for 40 days. I don't know if I can stop, but he used, man doesn't eat bread alone, live on bread alone, right? He used the word of God to defeat the lies, and the enemy ran away. Couldn't take real estate in his head. Through our faith in Christ, we come out of denial, recognizing that we have an enemy that has filled our mind with all these lies and created hurts, habits, and hang-ups. God's word says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, but it's a gift of God. So I ask you to receive that gift, open that gift, use that gift. But Satan has another plan. That's plan B. He wants to keep you in that jar. As a Christian, a lot of us, including me, we learn how to be saved. But sometimes we never learn how to mature in our sanctification entirely. We give power right back, and we go right back into the jar. We see that in our own lives, right? Nobody has power over you, but a lot of times we give power to people because we react. We allow them to make us react in a certain way. So we give them power. They're controlling the way we act. And that's what we do with our walk with Christ. We give that power back. It's not taken, but we just give it because we go back into the jar. We call this, and Scripture calls this, an unbelieving believer. Mark 9:24. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. An unbelieving believer. Plan B for the devil is to keep Christians from maturing in Christ and marginalizing them and not allowing them to be free in Christ and marginalizing them to not be able to lift up the name of Jesus, which we're here for. He wants to influence your mind until your usefulness in making God's name great is decreased. Right? And we do that. We give it back to Satan. Look at Esau in Scripture, right? He's all hungry. He's out hunting, doing a noble thing and everything. But God gave him a blessing, like he gave all of us, gave it to us. And how often do we give that blessing back? And we give the enemy power. Esau, right, he's all hungry. He sits there and his brother says, "Here, I'll give you this, but give me your blessing." And he's just so hungry and in himself that he gives it to his brother. And then afterwards, he's like, "Oh man, what did I do?" You know? How do we defeat this? Like I said before, by recognizing our enemy and recognizing that he is a liar and he has no power. By coming out of the jar and taking every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ. Taking every evil argument captive and making it bow to the name of Jesus. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And that truth will set you free." That's in 8:32. Engage the Holy Spirit again and again and again. So that as you do that, the truth, his word, will set in your heart, will be pierced, and it'll come out of your heart. Ask him to fill you over again and again and again, and he will. We as believers just need to take hold of the power of the Holy Spirit. Something I learned while God was taking me through this little path here is that the shepherds, and I believe they still do it today, but they were referring to back in Jesus' day. With sheep, when they're out in the fields, bugs will come into their nose and their ears and on their eyes, entryways, right? Just like the lies, just what we see here. And they will take real estate and they will have babies and it will drive the sheep crazy. It's in their head. So crazy that they wind up banging their head sometimes to the point of death. Okay? And why I say this and share this, and it's so amazing how God reveals things to me and us. Spirit is here. And the shepherd, who is Jesus, right, pours oil all over the head before they go in the fields. And what that oil does is creates a barrier to protect the sheep so the bugs can't take real estate in their head and so that they live and they're safe. So the oil protects them. And that's our Holy Spirit. When we ask Christ into our life, he seals us with his Holy Spirit. We're his now. He anoints us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit comes down upon us. And what happens a lot of times with me is we don't stand under it and just receive it. And then all these lies start coming in. We don't have the power on our own. That's why Christ gave us an advocate, a helper. But we have to engage him over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit knows the truth of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Holy Spirit seeks to convict us, or if you want to say, convince us. That's its job, its purpose. And show us our wrong thinking and our wrong ways. The Holy Spirit teaches us the truth. It illuminates the Word of God. He brings it to your heart. Not me. Not anything that I'm doing or any pastor, but the Holy Spirit reveals the truth. God reveals the truth through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says in God's word, helps us in our prayers and in our obedience to God. So I encourage you to engage the Holy Spirit. Come into communion with Jesus Christ. Step out of the jar. Put on Christ's yoke that is light and easy. And I'll keep you down that straight path so you have a good harvest and don't believe those lies. A call to action I have for every one of you, including myself, to take an inventory. What lies do you believe? Have they developed in the strongholds? See, we have to be alert and sober-minded to recognize this. That's the first step. What has been the fallout from such strongholds? Will you enlist with me and others? Will you enlist the help of others to help you destroy these strongholds? We have a ministry every first and third Saturday called Overcomers. And it's God is moving in that ministry, and it's all deals with hurts, habits, and hang-ups that are created by the lies we allow in our head. And help us engage the Holy Spirit together so we don't have to do it alone. Yes, we have Him, but He's also given us other people to help us through these things, to encourage us, the Word says, when we need that encouragement, so the lie doesn't stay in there. To pour that anointing over them through prayer. Will you take every captive thought in obedience to Jesus Christ? I encourage you to do that. It's so freeing. It's amazing. It really is. It's okay to be who you are. God made us for Him, but made us different. It's okay. Everybody has their different strong points. Certain people can do some things better than others. But He united us with what? His Holy Spirit. His Spirit makes us of one mind, one purpose, one goal to serve Him. Will you walk in your freedom that Christ has given you? Open it up. Galatians 5:13 says, myself and all of you, God says this, that you were called, it's a calling, to freedom. Come out of the jar. Take captive your thoughts in obedience to Jesus Christ. And receive God's good and pleasing and perfect will. Let's end in prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm grateful that we get to communion with You. I am so grateful that we have Your Holy Spirit here with us. That no matter how many times we turn away, we turn our face, that You never leave us or forsake us. Lord, You know what we need to hear. We want to live in Your freedom. Lord God, we want out of that jar. Nothing can contain us with You, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit pierce hearts, including my own, so the truth that You laid in there could go through our veins and minds, Lord God, and we can live in Your freedom. I pray that there's a revival in every one of us here and in the church and an awakening across this country. I thank You, Lord, for being a good, good Father. I thank You, Father, for being fair. You are a fair Father. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for this body and all these people here that are in my life. And I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, that I get to stand here, Lord, and just show up and be used. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.